The theme of this annual State of the Church message this morning is simply this: the church. And for our scripture, I would invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 16, and we'll be reading verses 13 through 18. Matthew 16, reading verses 13 through 18. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." In our text, this last portion of the 18th verse, Jesus said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Why are you here this morning? I choose to believe that you're here because you believe in the church. But an appropriate question on this annual meeting Sunday might be, when you talk about the church, what is the church? Our text has given us the first mention of the church in the Bible. And the first of three things I want to share with you this morning is simply this: the church announced. Jesus said, "I will build my church." The idea of a church, as we know it today, was an entirely new concept to the early Christians. We kind of take it for granted. We figure the church, certainly. We know what you mean when you talk about the church. I read of a Buddhist in this country who was lecturing about his faith, and he spoke of nuns and monks and discipline and scriptures and philosophy and shrines and many other things common to religion. But his audience wanted to hear about his local church. But he had nothing to tell them, for he had no local church akin to this church. And our church, the Christian church, is unique. For our church is the gathered community, the household of faith, the regular coming together of ordinary men and women. It is because of the peculiar idea of the church as a redemptive fellowship that the characteristic physical structure of Christianity, it's not a temple or a wayside shrine, but a meeting house where we meet together as redeemed and redeeming people with our leader, Jesus Christ himself. And the more we study the religions of the world, the more unique our church becomes, for it is the saving fellowship. Now, the age-old concept of worship was basically one of solitary worship. But the church, as announced by Jesus Christ, was a corporate structure. For he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them." There's a movement today to construct meditation chapels in business districts to enable busy people to obtain a moment of solitude in the midst of the day's activity, and that's all right. In Nazarene Theological Seminary, they have a prayer room. And I can remember when in seminary, getting there early in the morning and going to that prayer room all by myself. It's a lovely little prayer room, stained glass windows, small, just a few pews in there. And how I enjoyed the solitude of that time to pray and to get my soul ready for the day ahead. It was a wonderful place of refuge. But nothing can take the place of the communion of the saints, the church gathered together in a redemptive fellowship. The church is precious to us because Jesus announced he would build it. And what he does well. The church was announced for the first time by Jesus when he said, I will build my church. But the second thing I want to tell you is this. The church analyzed. It's one thing to announce a plan. It's something else entirely to carry through, to implement the plan. It was one thing for church to visualize this building. It was something else to translate that into material brick and mortar. Yeah, it's one thing to announce it, it's another thing to do it. Let's analyze this church that Christ has built for a moment. Let's consider of what will Christ's church be made? What's he going to use to make it? And I think the answer is rather shocking. For he says it's to be made out of ordinary humanity. And as we analyze the composition of the church, we see that Jesus chose flesh and blood as the components for his church. For he said, I will build my church out of ordinary men who believe that I am the Son of God. And our analysis this morning must review how effectively the ordinary men and women, boys and girls of this local church have been used to build the Church of Christ during this assembly year. I'm happy to be able to tell you this morning that Christ's church continues to grow. He said he would build it, and he has. And here are some of the figures that reflect your response to Christ's challenge to build his church this morning. We have seen spiritual growth in this year that is coming to a close. Over 1,500 people have bowed at these altars thus far in this church year to receive specific spiritual health. And every now and then, as I'm preparing for a service and wondering in my own heart the direction that God wants us to go, thinking about the service ahead, suddenly there will come to my mind recollections of beautiful services past and the way that God the Holy Spirit comes and moves upon us as his people week in and week out, and how we have divine communion with him. There's been spiritual growth this year, and certainly not all reflected in those who have sought God at the altar. We've had more new members than ever before. 119 total for the year. There won't be 10 churches in our great denomination that enjoy that kind of increase. We've had more by profession of faith than ever before, with a total of 29, bringing our current total membership to 455. Next year, we should break the 500 member mark. Our attendance statistics likewise reflect the dynamic energy of Christ being channeled into ordinary people, helping them to invite friends and neighbors, witnessing, sharing, doing whatever is necessary to be used of Christ in building his church. And the results reflect the greatest gains ever. Morning worship attendance for the school year averaged nearly 900, and for the entire year it averaged 774. A new record was set for a worship service when 1,225 gathered to worship the Lord. Our Sunday school average is the best ever at 498. But our analysis must not only include the stewardship of our time and talent, but our treasure as well. With 6 Sundays left in our church year, we have raised to date for all purposes $204,000, which means we will raise over $220,000 for the year, which is an increase of $60,000 over last year. And of this total, we've given over $20,000 to the worldwide mission thrust of the Church of the Nazarene. Now, Wednesday evening, you'll receive a complete report from our church treasurer. But let me just say this. We needed every dime of that money. Every dime of it was spent, and in fact, we need good offerings today just to keep current with our commitments, if you can believe that. It's true. You say, well, how did you spend all that money? Well, let me explain it to you. About a year ago now, our finance committee met and analyzed our budget for this coming year. They looked at all the projected programs for the year, and they analyzed how much it was all going to cost to do the job that Jesus Christ had commissioned us to do in this community in that year. They put all the figures together, and they concluded that we needed about $210,000 to do God's work this year. It looked impossible. That represented an increase of $50,000 over a year ago. But if you subtract just over $10,000 that came in special project gifts, if you subtract that from our total, you'll find that we have raised just about exactly what we as a church felt we had to have to do God's business in this community. And as a result, we've had the greatest year in the history of the church. How did it happen? Jesus said, I will build my church, and I'm going to do it with people just like you. And you responded in faith. The greatest staff in the church responded in faith to do the job. The greatest group of elected officers and volunteers in the world responded in faith to the admonition of Jesus Christ. In fact, all of our church family, all of you working together with Christ, have made it happen this year. It's a thrilling but sobering thought that Christ really depends on the likes of us. What a responsibility we have to do the job well. We just cannot fail. We will not fail. For Jesus said, I will build my church. And he has. Down through the centuries, in spite of persecution, corruption, self-seeking, division, and a million other impediments, Jesus has built his church. It has survived, and it will continue to survive. The church announced, Jesus said it, I'll build my church. The church analyzed. He said, I'm going to build it with ordinary people like you who believe and will confess me as the Son of God. Finally, I want to talk about the church attacking. If there was anything more amazing than Christ's announcement concerning the stuff out of which his church would be made, it would be his prophecy concerning the outcome of it all. For he said in our text, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus here speaks of the church's eventual victory. Let me explain. When reading this portion of Scripture, some people envision the church as a fort on the defensive, a castle surrounded by a moat, impervious to attack by all the devils in hell. Now this, on the one hand, is a true picture of the church, but it is not an accurate reading of this particular text. For the text here describes the church as being eternally on the offensive, the church attacking the very gates of hell. So, it's the gates of hell, not the gates of the church, that are being stormed. And here's the best part. The gates of hell cannot always be impervious to the Christian attack. Even hell cannot withstand the force of Christ's church. We are part of something pretty tremendous this morning. We are not a part of this local church only, but we are a part of the church of Jesus Christ from the day he first built his church to this very day. We're tied into quite a heritage, the heritage of the Lord's children. And Elton Trueblood has said that this passage about the gates of hell is a key to Christian strategy. For the ministry of the church is twofold. On the one hand, we come together as a church for redemptive fellowship, for inspiration, for repair, for recovery, to worship, to participate together in the miracle of preaching. We come to receive as well as to give. But from our Sunday meeting, we go forth to minister. Our 6 days of labor need to be spent storming the very gates of hell, ministering and sharing what we have received. We need a base and we need a field. We need a base of operations for renewal. Then we need a field of operation for penetration. As one has said, the service really begins when the meeting ends. There's the call for commitment in common life. Whether you're a doctor or a barber or a stock boy or a teacher, a mechanic, whatever you are, everyone committed in our ordinary lives to the extraordinary task of building Christ's church. Well, how shall we set ourselves to building the church of Christ in our coming new assembly year? How shall our attack on Satan be mounted in the months that are ahead? We shared a concept with your board in recent weeks, and it was simply this, that in this new year, we might have a church theme that would be this: multiplying our ministry. One time when I was struggling with a call from another church to see whether or not the Lord wanted me to respond to it, I couldn't get much clarification, couldn't get much direction as to what I was supposed to do. Finally, one day praying here at the altar of the church, I said, Lord, give me some kind of a handle. Give me something I can get a hold of. Give me something that I can stand on to make my decision. And the word of the Lord came to me that day, Paul, I want you to stay here and multiply your ministry. And the interpretation that the Spirit gave to me in that hour was simply this, that with all the young men studying for the ministry, all those who are part of this college complex, that we as a local church would have the opportunity to multiply our ministry through the lives of these young men who might be touched by the influence of this local church. And that has been so. That is a fact. It has already happened. To multiply our ministry through the lives of others. And now updating that theme a little bit, if we all as part of the body of Christ seek to multiply our individual ministries, then the church of Christ will continue to grow at record rates. Could we multiply our ministry on a personal basis, but also on a church-wide basis in the following days, in the following ways? I would propose for your consideration this morning the following: to multiply our ministry in this new assembly year. Number one, to initiate what we might call family circles, a division of the congregation into small units for fellowship, expressions of mutual concern and Christian nurture, a way to know each other better. They would meet on a regular basis. When new friends would come into the church, they would be guided into one of these groups on a rotating basis. Other churches have done similar things and have found it to be beneficial. More on this later. Number two, the initiation of a tape ministry. Tape recordings of our services sent to anyone, anywhere, as the Holy Spirit would lead. Another step to help multiply our ministry. You probably know that we make tape recordings of every service that we have here in College Church, and they're available to those who are hospitalized and those who are homebound and so forth. And they are checked out on a regular basis, but on a limited basis. Some churches have gone to a concept where they produce these tapes in large numbers and mail them to mission stations and to those who subscribe to them around the world. There is a demand for that kind of thing. And as we thought about multiplying the ministry of our local church, wouldn't a good way be to take the very services that God so blesses us with from Sunday to Sunday and share the good things that happen here to all who would like to share them with us? It did not seem that it would be very likely we would be able to do it until one of our young men who was leaving our church and moving to another city said to me one evening, "Pastor, would there be any way for me when I move to my new location to get tape recordings of the services of our church?" I said and called him by name, "Listen, when you move and when you get in your new community, you just get involved in that new local church and you forget about us." He said, "I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do that, but I'd still like to keep in touch. Could I buy tape recordings of our services?" And I told him what we were doing now and that it would really be impossible to make additional recordings to satisfy those who wanted them with the limited equipment that we had. And he said, "What would it cost to get the kind of machine you need to reproduce these cassettes at high speed so it could be done and I could get them?" I said, "Well, I don't know for sure, but I think such a piece of equipment costs about $1,200. He said, "All right, if you'll send me the tapes in a few weeks, I'll send you my check for $1,200. That check has been received, and we're negotiating now to purchase the equipment that will enable us to reproduce these cassette tapes in a minute or two at a time, so that we could send them, prepare them for all who would like to have them. Number three, to begin research and planning with our district superintendent for the development of a new church on Olathe's west side. You know, when we relocated over into this location some years ago, we took $8,000 of our very limited capital and we purchased 5 acres of land on Olathe's west side for that day when we would feel God leading us to start a second church in Olathe. I believe that this is the year, in cooperation with our district superintendent, to begin research and planning to do it in God's way, in God's timing, to provide an alternative to a large church concept of ministry. Number four, continue our scripture distribution in the fall with an eye toward the possibility of every home in Olathe being reached by College Church with a copy of the New Testament and a warm-hearted invitation to Jesus Christ and to attend this church if they are not currently attending church. Number five, to expand the training program for personal evangelism until every one of you who feels God leading them to be a trained personal soul winner could have the training that we have available for you. Number six, to enrich our educational program in several ways, including the expansion of our bus ministry, but not just to children. As one of our board members suggested in the last meeting, why couldn't we send a church bus to nursing homes and retirement areas in our community? patients there who are ambulatory, who would be able to get out, could board that bus and come to church with no stairs to climb. We're looking into it. May do it. Backyard Bible classes. Not all of the children who need to hear the Word of God are ever going to come into the doors of college church, no matter what kind of an invitation we give them. But they might, on a warm afternoon, assemble in your backyard in their play clothes with a trained leader to share the Word of God with them in a backyard setting. Additional teacher training and equipment. Number 7, broaden our campus ministry. Intensify student fellowship through the college Sunday school class. Greater student involvement in the program of the local church. The development of a college singing group. The initiation of a college spiritual outreach program. Number 8, revise and expand our programming concepts for our youth department. Number 9, increase our vision and methods for world outreach. Number 10, encourage more prayer and Bible study by every Christian so that we will have great spiritual depth from which to minister. Yes, we would call for the multiplication of our ministry through these ways and other ways that the Holy Spirit might reveal to us in this coming church year. One has said, the church is many things, but primarily it is a society of Jesus made up of ordinary people penetrating ordinary life so effectively that not even the gates of hell can stop them. The church was founded to bring the dimension of destination to a world of wandering men. And as we multiply our ministry in this new church year, it could be that we would be able to add the dimension of destination to the lives of many. For you see, the Christian knows where he's going. The dimension of destination has been added to his life. But I ask you in closing today, do you know where you're headed this morning? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ and his church? If not, it isn't too late, for the arms of his church remain open to all who will heed his call to receive forgiveness for sin. Yes, it's been a very, very good year. The best we've ever had. It's all because of the church. The church that was announced when Jesus said, I will build my church. The church analyzed when Jesus said, I will build it out of ordinary men. And the church attacking through the multiplication of our ministry in this new church year. For it was Jesus who promised, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And the good news is this. Somehow or other, in some way or other, we can all be a part of this major offensive in a new assembly year. And before we can be a part of that, we, of course, have to be a part of Christ and know him in his saving power. This morning, he has opened the door of his church, and he asks you to become a part of it for now and for eternity to come. Let's make this a year when all of us work together to do the job. Let no one stand on the sidelines waiting for someone else to do it. But may all of us recognize that no matter what our talents may be, we're not relying upon our talents. We're relying upon the Christ who said, I will build my church. It is upon that foundation that we continue to build. Let's sing about it this morning as we close our service by turning to hymn number 441, The Church's One Foundation. Let us stand together.
Number 441.